Hey loves, thank you guys so much for tuning back into my podcast. I just want to say thank you to all of my listeners. I just checked my plays from my last episode and I'm at 346 plays. Thank you guys so much. You guys don't know how much I appreciate your constant support, and I hope that you guys are enjoying the word that I'm relaying to you guys, because it's definitely coming from the Spirit of God. It's definitely coming from the Word of God, and it's very genuine. It's so interesting. I was just telling one of my friends how when this podcast came about, I don't know if I've ever shared what inspired me to start this podcast, but what inspired me to start this podcast was one day I just kept saying, like, Lord, you know, what is my purpose? Like, what have you called me to do? I know I'm really great at talking. I can talk someone's ear off, especially if it's something that I'm passionate about and I'm very educated on. But I'm like, but what do you want me to do with this gift of being able to talk, this gift of gab? And one day, someone was telling me, like, oh, I have a podcast, and on my podcast, we talk about motherhood, like just different situations and things that you may encounter being a mother. And I was like, wow, podcast, tell me a little bit more. So she just started to tell me, you know, about, you know, how to start a podcast, how a podcast goes, and how it's like a big wave right now. And I was like, wow, so I can reach people all over the world just by talking through a microphone and editing my audio and posting it on a platform. And she was like, yeah, you can. So I thought long and hard, and I said, Lord, this will be a great way to really reach people. But what do you want me to talk about? And he gave me the word high. It didn't take long for me to find a name for my podcast. It was like he put high in my head. And I was like, that's catchy. But what is it going to be abbreviated for, Lord? And he said, healing in God's hands. And I said, bingo, the light just turned on. It's go time. What's up? Like, let me go ahead and take some notes to start my first episode. So if you guys have listened to my first episode, you will see definitely a bit of a progress from how I sounded on my first episode compared to how I sound now. My first episode, I was a little shaky. I was a bit nervous. I didn't really feel like I let my real character show because I was so clouded with so much anxiety and like nervousness. But as I sat in my car, mind you guys, I did record the episode in my car. But as I sat in my car, I realized, like, you know what? No matter what place, no matter what time, it's always a time to give people the word of God, to share the word of God to people and to share your experiences. And I really wanted to use this platform to touch people because I felt like a lot of people, we hear about their success stories, right? We hear about the good in their success stories, how they've succeeded. But we don't ever hear about the ugly. It's like people are embarrassed or ashamed to talk about their struggles and, you know, the obstacles and the difficulties that they face to get to where they are. But that's the beauty of the entire story. And I'm that person that wants to hear about that. Like, I want to hear about the ugly. Don't just tell me about the glitz and glam and the gold. I mean, we can see that you're successful. But tell me all the grimy and dirty and like the sad days and crying nights, no sleep nights, sleepless nights. Tell me about that and how you persevered and pushed through that and still made it to where you are today. So in my podcast, I want to have it as an encouraging platform to encourage people that we're just the like, we are the same. We all go through our fair share of struggles and ups and downs. That's life. I was reading one of my plans on my Bible app, and it talked about how being a child of God or a servant of God doesn't assure you that you won't experience troubles and struggles. People feel like because they serve God, God is supposed to save them from everything. Well, then how would you be able to test him? Well, not test him. Let me take that back. But how would you be able to trust him if he's always came through for you and never had to test you or test your faith? Remember, faith is being able to believe what you can't see, what you can't touch, but just knowing that it's there, knowing that it's possible. So our relationship with God is solely based on faith. interesting story. Every morning and every night, my son and I kneel down and we pray. And whenever we're on our car rides home, if something happens and we make it out of it, like let's just say we see an accident on the freeway and we'll drive by and I'm like, oh my God, thank God that that wasn't us. So my son always hears me say, thank God. We listen to our gospel music. He just hears God. He goes to a Christian school. So one day he had hurt himself at school and I was like, no word, don't worry, baby. Jesus is going to heal it. God is going to take care of it. Like, you're going to be okay. You're strong. You can get through it. So then once he felt better, he said, mommy, I feel better. And I said, see, praise God. God did that. And he said, but I don't see him. Where is he? And I said, God is everywhere. He said, but I don't see him, mommy. Where is he? I said, Zion, just because you don't see him, that doesn't mean that he's not there. I said, we can feel him. We may not be able to see him in the physical, meaning with our eyes in front of us. I said, but he is here and we can feel him everywhere. I said, the job mommy has, God gave it to her. The money we have, God gives it to mommy. The food we have, the clothes. And I just start to explain it. And he just really sits there and he thinks like, wow. God does exist, but I just don't know why I can't see him. And I'm like, the older that you get, the more you'll start to understand it. Just like when I was younger, my parents talked about God. I was like, well, where is he? Like, I don't see who you're talking about. We're so used to being able to see things that we don't know how to trust when we can't see. But as you get older, you realize that God is a spirit and he's everywhere. And even if you can't see him, just know that you can feel him. And he's always watching over you and protecting you. So that brings me to the podcast for today. Today's topic is going to be, well, it's more of like a question that I'm posing to you guys. My question is, who is your master? So today's topic, I wanted to focus on Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, where it says, this is from the King James Version. It says, no man can serve two masters. Let's just dissect that really quickly. No man can serve two masters, meaning it's not possible. You cannot serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he would hold to the one and despise the other. So the second part of that verse is saying that no man can serve two masters. We understand that. But it's saying that for either he will hate the one and love the other. That means you can't love two masters and serve two masters equally. This is Jesus speaking to in these verses. And Jesus is telling us, like, you're going to have to choose. It's either you're going to love one. I mean, either you're going to choose one or you're going to choose the other. But whoever you choose, you only can have one master that you will serve. And it says, ye cannot serve God and mammon. Now, for those who don't know what mammon is, it's possessions or wealth or money. We'll just put it like this. It's money. Let's just get right to it. It's money. So Jesus is telling us in this verse that we cannot serve God and money. And God placed it up on my spirit to talk about this because I feel like in this day and age, in the era that we're living in, everyone is so consumed by money. Everything that they do is money driven. Like, it's very few that I see are purpose driven or that are driven by God. And not very few. There's a lot that I believe are driven by God, or they portray to be, but there are very few that are purpose driven. A lot of people are just, you know, driven by money. They're just working to survive. They're just doing whatever they can just to have money, just to buy, I don't know, provide for their family, of course, by materialistic things. But Jesus is saying in this verse that you have to choose. You either choose God or you choose money. If you choose God to be your master, that means that God is the one who rules your life. God is your Lord. God is who you serve. And God is the one who has control over your soul. But if you choose money, then that means you're putting your soul and your heart into the world, and into earthly things, into money. Remember, those things are perishable. They're tangible, where you can touch them and feel them, but they don't last. They're temporary. They'll fade away. So God is telling us that, Jesus is telling us in this verse, that we have to choose our master. So I pose a question as far as who is your master, because it really makes you think, like, who am I serving? Am I serving money? Because another thing too, when we serve money, money can cause us to behave in ways in which we despise. Money can have us acting out of desperation because we're just trying to survive, right? So that means we'll do any and everything to get money. We'll steal, we'll kill, we'll envy other people who have money, which leads to hate, jealousy, killing. We'll feel superior because we have money. Like we'll have a sense of feeling empowered and having power if we have money, if we have a lot of money. And we'll be worshiping and we'll be serving earthly things, opposed to if you choosing God as your master. God will rule your life. He will rule your spirit. He will rule your heart. He will give you things that money cannot buy. And I saw a quote a while ago that said, I pray for things money can't buy. And it's very true, because we think that having a lot of money is going to make us happy. It doesn't. Remember, joy and peace comes from the Lord. And that's in Galatians chapter, come on, bring it to me, Lord. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, where it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. So fruits of the Spirit are free gifts that are coming from God. So that means God gives us joy and God gives us peace. It didn't say money does. So we're chasing to be successful. We're chasing after wealth, or we're putting our hope and our lives in money hand or wealth hand or materialistic things. When those things fade away, they can be stolen from us. They can rot. They can break. Like, so many different things can happen to them. It could be an earthquake tomorrow, and all of the things that we've spent so much money on, and or that we may have worshipped, that was materialistic, is gone. It's wiped out. It's broken. We can't do anything about it. But God is saying, if you choose Him as your master, He will give you all of these things plus more. But your soul will be in Him, and you will acquire heavenly things that doesn't fade away, that aren't perishable. So it's just something to think about and really think as you go about your day-to-day life. Think about what's consuming you and what's controlling you. It's one thing to work hard and be successful because, you know, you have a purpose and you want to fulfill that purpose. And of course, we all want to provide. God is not telling us to be lazy. He's not telling us to not work or not to want to acquire or have money. He's just saying, don't let that be your ruler. He's giving you the choice. He's not telling you that you have to serve. He's giving you a choice in this verse that you have to serve one or the other. You cannot serve both. And I've realized the more that I'm focused on God and what God has for me, the less I'm worried about what money can bring. Because I know at the end of the day, God is my provider. He provides the food that I have. He gave me the position. People say, oh, I got this job because, you know, I had to connect someone in my network, plugged me in, and they pulled my resume, called me for an interview. I sealed the interview, so I got the job. Did you? We don't want to take away credit from God, because no man can give you any position. God has to have the final say so for everything. So that's why I don't believe in being self-made. I'm not self-made. I'm God-made. God made me. God has placed opportunities in my path that I didn't see coming. And I knew it was Him all alone. And because I gave Him His credit, He's constantly blessing me and adding more opportunities to me and throughout my life. So I just want you guys to really think about what do you find yourself so consumed and wrapped up in? And really think, like, is this who I'm worshiping or is this what I'm worshiping? And decide. That's all I can say is decide who you want to be your master. And it will definitely change your life. It will change the path that you're on. Money can't lead you. I know the Bible says that money is the root of all evil. And it's not necessarily that it's the root of all evil. It's what is done to get money that makes it evil. It's chasing the money that can lead us to all kinds of evil. So we're driven. We're money driven again. I get back to that. And that's what can make it evil. And you have to think about it. Think about it. People sell drugs because they gotta survive, right? That's evil. That's not according to, you know, what God's command us to do. Or, you know, how some women, you know, because they have to survive and they have to provide for their family, some will start stripping. That's not really what God has commanded us to do, but you're driven by the money. People will scheme to get money. People will scam, you know. People will take people's credit card information. People will rob a bank. People will take someone's identity or social security to take everything that they own and put it in their name. It's just so many different things that happens that cause us to act evil just to acquire money. And that's when it starts to become, that's when it is, not become, but that's when it is your master, because you're allowing yourself to be so driven by it that you're doing any and everything that you can think of to get money, when God is saying, if you serve me and let me be your master, you'll get all of that plus more. That just sounds incredible, like amazing. Like, you're telling me, Lord, if I serve you and I live righteously, you'll give me everything? Yeah, he will. But we get so caught up in what we see going on in the earth and trying to stay up to date with, you know, what's going on the earth and trying to be popular or trying to fit in or just trying to, you know, chase the next dollar, that we forget that God is still in control at the end of the day. So no matter what you do to get what you have, that can all be wiped away and taken away from you at any given moment. And it's a lot of people that I know that, you know, have said that, you know, they've had a lot of money at one period of time, but they spent it frivolously and they no longer have that money anymore. So just imagine that. Like, God gives you $1 million and you just blow it, and all of a sudden you just broke 5 years later. It just goes to show you that money comes and money goes. So why would you allow that to be your ruler when it's so frugal? You know, like, it comes and it goes. It's flip-flop, you know. And I would rather have a master that's consistent, a master that has never failed me, a master that has always fulfilled his promises, a master that loves me unconditionally, a master that made me, that knows what I'm capable of, knows what I'm going to do, what my purpose is, knows my strengths, knows my weaknesses, but turns my weaknesses into strengths. Like, come on, that's who I would want to be my master. Because I know if you can do all of the above, then I know I'm straight for life. Like, another question that I have to pose too is, what do you consider winning? Some people consider being in first place is winning, or having all the fancy things and all the money is winning. To me, nah. Winning is when your soul is right with God. Winning is when you got that good relationship with God. You can go to him. He knows you. He knows your name. You know him. You have his favor on you. That's winning. Like, I don't care if I got $15 in my bank account. I am winning more than anybody that has $1 million in their bank account, because I have God in my heart. I have God in my soul, and I have God leading my life. And I know that I'm going to acquire way more, and God is going to give me so many riches because I'm allowing him to be in control, and I trust him even though I haven't been able to see him yet. I am going to see him one day, but I haven't been able to see him yet. But yeah, I trust him. I trust him so much. I be feeling like he's sitting right next to me in my bed. I'm like, okay, Lord, you know I got to do X, Y, and Z. You sitting right here, and I know you're going to take care of it for me. I'm going to go to sleep. I'm going to rest. I'm not going to stay up worried and troubled. No, you got me. You're going to take care of me. You did it before. You'll do it again. So this was a deep one. This one did go a little long because God really spoke to me a lot with this one. And there's so much more I wanted to share from this verse, but I didn't want to keep you guys too long. So just think about it. Think about it when you have some time to yourself and just really think about like how you're moving in life. Are you moving because you want to be the next, you know, successful entrepreneur or entertainer or actor, actress, musician, athlete, doctor? Do you want it so you can feel entitled? Do you want it for God to be glorified and praised that you're doing what he's called you to do? Or are you wanting it because you want the fame and all the love to be all about you? Think about that and think about, you know, where you stand with money. Are you letting money drive you, or are you driving the money? Are you the one in control? Like Lisa Ray said in Players Club, make the money, don't let it make you. I'm sorry, y'all, that was a classic, but it's so true. You don't let the money make you. You make the money. You don't let the money make you. Don't let the money control you, but let God control you, and I promise you, he will take you directly to your destiny. So I hope that you guys have a blessed week, and we'll be back next week. In 2 weeks, and I have a special speaker, guest speaker, coming on in 2 weeks. So you guys stay tuned. I won't reveal who it is, but you guys will see, and you'll be in for a treat. And if you are open to sharing any stories or any testimonies or any situations, you know, in relation to your relationship with God, feel free to send me an email. And I would love to have you featured on the show as a guest speaker to just tell your story, because that's what this is all about, sharing our story and sharing God's greatness. So God bless you all. And let's go ahead and close out this podcast with the word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you now to say thank you. Thank you that you're so amazing. Thank you that your love is unconditional, that it never wavers, it never fails. Thank you that you've always fulfilled all of your promises that you've made unto us. Thank you that you have given me everything that I need. Thank you for being my provider, my protector, for being my friend, my counselor, for being there just when I needed you the most, Father. Thank you for being everywhere at every time and seeing everything and saving us from so many situations. Thank you that you are in control and that you are our provider and that you are our master. Help us to choose you, Father. Help us to know that if we place our life and our soul into your hands, Father, that you will not lead us astray, that you will lead us in the right direction that you have for us, and that you allow us to walk right into our destiny and reveal the purpose that you have for each and every one of our lives. Help us not to be led by money, and help us not to allow money to consume and control us, Father, but help us to know that if we put our trust in you and we seek your kingdom, that you will give us all the riches and all the things that we need, Father. Help us to have faith, even when we can't see you, even when we can't feel you, even when we don't know if you're there, even if we feel like you haven't heard our prayer, answered our prayer. Help us to be persistent with praying and coming to you, Father, and seeking you for everything, for all of our needs. Just watch over us, bless the world that we're living in, the times that we're living in, Father. Bless those that are hurt. That they need and heal them, Father, for the healing that they need. Bless those that are lost, Father, that you allow them to be found. We thank you, we praise you, and we love you, Father. And we ask and we pray this prayer in your Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Hey, loves. Thank you so much for tuning back into my podcast. I have a word for you guys today. So first, I just want to give all praise and honor and glory to God, because I've been thinking on this topic for some time now, and he really put it on my spirit, on my heart to just deliver it. And it came in perfect timing. I wanted to do a special podcast for the tragedy and the devastating death of Kobe Bryant and his daughter Gianna Bryant, as well as all the other passengers that were on board of that helicopter. My condolences and my deep prayers are still with their family. I can't even fathom as a mother and a wife. I'm not a wife, but just from Vanessa's standpoint, you know, being a mother and a wife, and losing not only your husband, that's just difficult in itself, I'm very certain, but your daughter at the same time. So it was very, very, this, like, anyone who knows me knows that I'm not the biggest Kobe Bryant fan. I've always gave him credit for being a great, incredible ball player. Like, he kills it on the court. But this death just hit home to me. Like, I really cried and it really got to me emotionally because I was just thinking, like, that moment of peril of when they were going down and he realized that this is the end for himself and his baby girl. And, you know, how do you respond in that moment as a father? How do you respond in that moment as a teenager who is devastated and terrified of her life coming to an end right before her eyes? And it was just a regular day for them. So I don't want to go on a tangent and talk about it, but this death really did affect me personally, mentally and emotionally, because there were so many questions and so many thoughts, but there were a lot of lessons that I felt each and every one of us could have taken from this loss. And it was just wonderful how God allowed the timing to line up with this podcast and considering Kobe Bryant's death. If anything I learned from that was to live in the moment and to enjoy the blessings God has given to you and place in your life. So that leads me to my podcast. So the topic is live in the moment. And when you're living in the moment, it means that you're enjoying the present, the task at hand. You're not dwelling on the past or being anxious for the future. When you allow yourself to really bask in the right now, you find a different level of gratitude. You find yourself being so grateful for the many blessings that God has given you. Just the mere fact that we wake up every single day, that's one blessing that you could just be so thankful for. When you get up in the morning, don't worry about what's going to be thrown at you throughout your day. Just say, I'm alive. I made it. Unfortunately, those families did not make it to see their families again another day. They didn't make it. And their families had no idea that they wouldn't come back home to them. So really, just be grateful that you opened your eyes. That means God still has a purpose for you. And there's still a reason why you're on this earth. Don't get caught up in what happened the day before. We can't rewind time. Life doesn't go backwards. It moves forward. So why allow yourself to be stuck and hung up on what happened the day before or yesterday? Each day has its own set of troubles, issues, of victories as it is. No need to dwell on what was or what could have been. Just be grateful that you overcame whatever it was and you made the best out of what was presented to you. When you enjoy the moment and you're grateful for the present, God will release what he has coming next for you. I say this because sometimes we're so anxious to get to the next level that we forget we prayed for where we are right now. We prayed for our current position, whether it's within, you know, you were delivered from something, you were delivered from a mental state that was negative and daunting and you didn't know how you were going to overcome it. You were placed in a new position at work. You were promoted or you changed jobs. You have a new home. You have a new family. You have a new relationship, a new opportunity, another chance. I mean, at midnight every day, God gives us new grace and new mercies. So when you're so anxious to get past where you are right now, you're not enjoying the moment. You're robbing today of its glory. And God doesn't want us to do that. When we show God that we're grateful for where he has us right now, he will release what he has next for us. Because remember, in order for you to get ahead, you have to take each day step by step. You know, it's a journey. Like Nip used to always say, it's a marathon, not a race. You can't race and fly through life. You have to go through the journey and run the marathon. Take your time. You know, fail sometimes. Get back up. Try it again. Make mistakes. Allow yourself room for corrections and errors. Don't ever feel like you know everything and you have everything put together and no one can offer you a suggestion. No, humble yourself. Because remember, God places people and opportunities in our paths to get us to where he has us, where he's leading us next, to get us to our destiny. It's all a part of the journey. But you have to be grateful for where you are now because, like I mentioned before, you once prayed for this. And this is your answered prayer. So why pray for God to answer your, for God to grant you certain prayers and certain requests, for him to give it to you and for you to just try to fly past it and skip to, oh, okay, so what's next? Did you even enjoy or did you even realize that this was God? That God placed you here. So instead of being anxious for what is to come, say, Lord, what is it that you have me? What is it that you would like me to do in what you've given me now? Help me to excel in what you've presented to me now. And when you do that, he'll continuously throw out and pour out more blessings. You can't expect God to bless you in advance if you haven't thanked him or enjoyed the current blessings he's given to you. You know, sometimes when we get our blessings and we get our prayers answered, we don't pray as frequently as we used to when we were going through it and trying to get that prayer answered. You know, when we going through it and we broke or we really need a new place or we need God to come through for us and we didn't try everybody and everybody didn't fail us, we're desperately crying and praying out to him, right? Well, God wants us to keep that same energy all the time when he's given us that blessing, when things are on the up for us. God is not a seasonal God. You can't just pick and choose when you want to talk to him and then when you want to avoid him and do things on your own or not even avoid, just forget about him. God, if you want continuous blessings, then you can't have a temporary or a seasonal prayer life or relationship with God. It just don't work like that. God wants to be your center. He wants to be your everything. He wants you to come to him before you go vent to your homegirls, your homeboys. He wants you to come to him before you go and try to ask somebody else for advice on a situation that they probably can't even give you advice on because they probably never experienced it, or they probably just don't have the best interest at heart for you and you don't know that. But God wants you to come to him all the time. He wants to be that go-to person, that point of contact. So don't hesitate to do that. Man, I'm sorry. This was like such a moving message because it's been on my heart for so long. So I'm just going. So forgive me if I'm not really taking breaks, but I'm so excited that I'm just going. Also, when we're living in the moment, we are encouraged to celebrate small victories. Everyone wants to see the final big end result, but how about we celebrate those small gains that we reap during the process? Because you have to overcome small challenges, right? To really be able to overcome larger ones, because they're going to come no matter where you are in life. They're going to come, but your growth is going to help you overcome them or deal with them better than you did when they were first presented to you. So you'll be equipped. God will equip you. But we have to celebrate the small victories. For example, we're asking God, like, Lord, please bless me with this new position, and please allow them to grant me my desired salary. Lord, this will be so wonderful for me. And let's say they don't grant you your desired salary, but they give you $2,000 less than what you were asking for. That still deserves a celebration. You may not have got what you were asking for, but maybe you were asking for what you weren't qualified for or what the company couldn't give you. What if you were asking for an amount that God felt like you didn't need because you were probably just going to blow it or spend it frivolously? So we have to celebrate that small victory that you may not have gotten the desired salary that you want, but there's a victory in this story. You were just offered a position, a new job that's still paying you more than what you were receiving before. It's still an opportunity of growth, still a position where you can excel and advance in, to where you can demand more money when the opportunity presents itself. Small victories are, you're going to the gym and you're working out every day and you're trying to eat right, and you finally start to stay consistent with your regimen, and you get on a scale and you realize you've lost 1 pound. I mean, hey, you may want to lose 40 pounds, so maybe losing 1 pound isn't nothing too exciting to celebrate, because you really want to lose 40. But God is telling you, celebrate that victory that you've lost 1 pound. Because as a woman, speaking from a woman, losing 1 pound, oh my, I'm doing a backflip. Because it's so hard to lose pounds. I'm not talking about inches, I'm talking about pounds. So if you've lost 1 pound and not your 40, just know that what you're doing is working. So keep doing it. That's it. That's all. Philippians 4:6 says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. In that verse, God is telling us, don't worry about anything. Or should I say, Paul is telling us, don't worry about anything, but instead pray about everything. So whatever it is that you're dealing with, that you need help with, pray about it. Submit those prayers, send it up to God. Don't dwell on the past. The past is the past for a reason. Look forward to the future, but don't be so anxious for the future that you forget about the right now.